All right, so last week, I don't remember exactly what service or who. Hey, settle down. Larry? I feel like I left a couple things out there about the woman last week that was in need. And I just wanted to clarify. First off, I'm proud to tell you. I don't know. Squirrel. It just seems wrong. Okay. We had this lady come in late Thursday night, and we helped her out. We got some tires. Bill Bowers, you know, gave her the tires and everything. And I told you guys that those tires were actually for a customer Friday morning, 8 o'clock Friday morning. And I said, but, you know, we ordered them. I think it'll all work out. I just want to tell you that, unfortunately, Bill Bowers lost a customer. I'm just kidding. No, it all worked out great. Everything, the customer didn't even know that the tires were gone. They got them in, they mounted them down, everything's good. That situation, which, you know, kind of expected because of the things that we did and Chad did, that situation worked out just right. But also, I wanted to clarify, so this lady that was broke down in our parking lot, you know, she was really in need because she didn't have the money to pay for the tires. Like, I just want to make sure, like, I relay the fact that she, I don't know how much money she had, but I know she had to get enough to get to Florida. I imagine not much more than that, trying to get home. So we paid for the tires. I didn't expect Chad, he's the owner of Bill Bowers, I didn't expect him to just, you know, give us the tires. I didn't even want him to, because I knew that we would, you know, we'd pay for the tires. We'd make sure it happened. So we did that, and I had a couple people say, hey, you know, we'll give some money towards the tires. I'm like, oh, great. The only problem with that is, man, I don't know how to coordinate that exactly. So I got a little bit, and I got some first service. So here's what I'm going to do. If you want to help offset some of the cost of those tires, that'd be great. See me after service, and we'll put it in this fancy envelope that says tire money, okay? So that's what that's for. I better just set it here. I don't see anybody I trust, right? Set it right there. And thank you, Joel, for putting that in my Bible between services. I noticed that. Huh? Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't see her at that time. So that situation, everything worked out great. She actually messaged somebody, Kathy or somebody, the other night and said she was praying for the women's conference, which was awesome. And Duane actually wanted to be up here, but she's down with the children. She wanted to be up here and just thank the guys that came out, first off, and helped. Apparently, Kevin, did you do some stuff there at the women's conference?
No.
Somebody? Anybody? Somebody did. Oh, he did. That's a liar. Good place to do it, I guess. So there were some guys. She wanted to thank the guys that came out and helped. And she also wanted to just express how blessed the women were for the experience yesterday in the women's conference. So that was awesome. Yes. Clap. Glorious. And then we had some fellas that went out and chopped some wood. Yeah, we have a splitter. Splitter's great, right? Chops the wood. Yeah, we used that for about 20 minutes and it broke. So we're talking about endurance today. I tell you, I ain't got much of it after trying to split some wood yesterday. Don't laugh at me, Lloyd. Stop it. Look, go on. So last week, we started talking about the book of James. We talked about James a little bit, who he was. We started talking about the book of James. And one of the things I said was that some people consider, Chuck Swindoll being one of them, considers James being the New Testament Proverbs, okay? Because they have a lot of similarities. And one of the things that I've noticed in studying Proverbs last year and studying James this year is something that both books have in common is they take like these themes and then they talk about these themes in different places of the book. Like, it'd be really easy if we're preaching through a book just to have that theme in one spot, we're done, and then we move on to the next thing and just keep going through the book. But Proverbs and James both have several things that they just, it's all spread out throughout the book. So take Proverbs, for instance. It talks about wisdom all throughout the book. It talks about the fear of God all throughout the book. It talks about saying the right things, taming the tongue, in other words. That's a theme in James as well. And these things are talked about all throughout Proverbs. And James does the same thing with what we're going to talk about today. He does the same thing with endurance. Or you might have in your translation perseverance, maybe steadfastness, and then a couple actually have patience there. And that's what James does. He talks about it in chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, and he talks about it in 12 to 15, and then all the way in chapter 5, he talks about endurance again. So what we're doing is we're taking all the verses James talks about endurance, and we're looking at all of them to try to get a complete picture of what he's talking about. So this morning, we're in James. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We've already been there last week for a minute, like maybe 3 minutes. We did talk a little bit, James 1:1, and then we went over to James chapter 3 because of the situation that happened last week, and God just basically, I think God really just wanted to encourage us, encourage the church. He wanted to certainly bless that lady, bless the church with what happened last week. So we were in chapter 3 talking about our faith should also have actions to it. We should have a faith that works, that actually does things, that affects the physical. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about people needing to see the things that we say, okay? Not just us, but everybody around us. That was last week. We're backing up, James chapter 1. Starting in verse 2. Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know... Am I hearing things? Oh, wow. Was that louder than me? Okay. For you know... No. Verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds pretty glorious. Perfect and complete, needing nothing. But let's go back to verse 2 and let's start. Dear brothers and sisters, now we got to remember the audience that James is writing to. Remember, it's these Jewish believers who spent their whole life, you know, following the law. They're following the law, the Old Testament law, like that's very black and white. You know, like, hey, if you do this, then do this. If this happened, then do this. You know, it's very black and white. Like I can read this, I can see it, I can do it, got it. They lived their whole life doing that. Now, they're believing in Jesus, who ushered in a new covenant, like a new law. And now it's a little muddy, like they know, hey, if you commit murder, you know this, you got to do that, you got to do that. And now they're like, wait a minute, but Jesus said murder. I don't even know what murder is now. Like, murder is hate. So they're trying to adjust to this new way of living in this new covenant. And nobody really likes them. They're being persecuted. They're being hunted. Nobody likes these people, except for each other. You got to remember, that's these dear brothers and sisters, that's these people. Okay? And that's harsh when we think about that. And then we read, listen, man, James, he don't waste no time, does he? I mean, this is the second verse for us, but it's like a couple sentences into his letter, right? Here's the first thing he commands. He says, dear brothers, persecuted brethren, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Amen. Let's pray. Preston? No. Wow, really? All these things these Jewish believers are going through, and he's like, listen, consider it an opportunity for joy. Now, first thing we have to recognize, listen, it says when troubles. It does not say if troubles. It doesn't say, hey, maybe you're going to experience trouble. It says when troubles of any kind come your way. But in other words, James is saying, this ain't no option. It's going to happen. At least if you're doing it right, you are going to experience troubles, trials, tribulations, persecutions, even temptations. That's what this says. And one thing we're going to find as we move through James is James echoes Jesus a lot. He echoes Jesus, and then there's a lot of stuff in 1 Peter that we're going to read that also James talks about. I read 1 Peter this week, and I haven't read 1 Peter in a long time. And after reading James and studying James and then reading 1 Peter, oh, wow, try that. Read James this week. Here's what we're going to do. 5 chapters, right? Read James this week. And then keep going, because the next book is 1 James. Or 1 James. It's not 1 James. It's 1 Jimmy, I know. That was 1 Peter. So read James and then 1 Peter. It's awesome. You'll see a lot of similarities. But listen, he echoes Jesus. Okay? And this, he says, when you experience troubles. This sounds like something Jesus said. And I know Jesus said it because it's in words of red in John chapter 16. I want you to hear this real quick. John 16, verse 33. Here's what Jesus had to say. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. I know if you have the NIV, it says you will experience trouble. You'll have troubles. You will. It's not a, hey, maybe you'll have some trouble. No, you're going to have some troubles. Okay? But take heart because I have overcome the world. That's a tremendous verse. Like, it's kind of bad news. Hey, we're going to have trouble. But then check it out. The next sentence, he says, but take heart. I've overcome the world. This is the first nugget of truth I feel like you can really take out today. Listen, we're going to have troubles. But Jesus Christ overcame everything, overcame the world. And if we're following him and he is the Lord of our life, guess what? We can overcome anything. We can overcome anything, including death. So take that, put it in your pocket, take it home with you, and use it this week. All right. Jesus and James says that we will have troubles. Go ahead and flip over to 1 Peter. That's right next to 1 Jimmy, yep. Thank you for that, buddy. Thought you were going to shave your beard. I'm glad you didn't. You would look so weird. I mean, you do anyways, but okay. Back to the text. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read 14 to 16. Check this out. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affair. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Okay? So now Peter's talking about the fact that we're going to suffer, but we're going to be blessed for it. And that's tremendous. That's tremendous to keep in mind, and that's tremendous to know. That we will encounter trouble, trials, persecutions. Now listen, we're not going to experience anything like the church, the persecuted church, in other parts of the world is going to experience. I just don't think we're going to experience that in this part of the country. We're not. But nevertheless, we will experience some sort of persecution. Go ahead and flip back to James, back a couple pages. So we're going to have troubles. Trials. Now listen, a lot of times when we talk about, we read the Bible and we think, okay, we're going to have troubles or trials, whatever that is, and then we automatically start thinking about the troubles that we experience. We think, okay, I'm having troubles at work. I'm having issues with employees or employer, with my manager. I can't get my work done. This, you know, if you're in school, I have trouble with my schoolwork. I have trouble with bullies. I have trouble with these students. I have trouble. There's troubles everywhere. We have marital troubles, whatever it is. That's what we start to think about when we read this. I mean, that's what I think about. I'm starting to read and I'm thinking, okay, when troubles, all right, what's the troubles I'm thinking of here? What are all the things I'm going through? What's my family going through? And that's what's running through my mind. But what we have to remember is that these are specific trials and persecutions. Okay? Matthew chapter 5. Check this out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Here's what Jesus says. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Did you get that? Because you are my followers, they're going to lie about you. They're going to spread evil about you. Listen, we can think of all these other problems we have that, guess what? We caused ourselves. Our disobedience to God has caused us a lot of issues, a lot of situations that cause us to suffer, right? But what are the situations and the troubles and the trials and the persecutions that you're facing right now because you follow Jesus? That's a little bit tougher. Jesus says in verse 12, he says, be happy about it, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Man, So we have to keep in mind the specific, and as a matter of fact, Peter said the same thing in the verses we just read. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ, you're going to have troubles. And that's what James is talking about here when he says troubles. It's specifically the trouble that your faith gets you into. Because you're a follower of Christ, what are the persecutions you're experiencing? Do you experience problems and trials at work because you're a Christian? Maybe. Maybe not. Do you experience troubles at school because you're a Christian? Or is it just a bad day? It's tough. You made a bad decision. We have to consider the fact that that is what James is talking about here. These are the types of troubles that the Jewish believers are encountering because of their faith. He says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Oh man, really? An opportunity for great joy. I think it's necessary here. We have to kind of establish what joy is. Because there's a lot of different ideas about what joy is, right? I mean, some of us just assume that joy is happiness. And here's what I've experienced, here's what I've found, is a lot of times happiness kind of accompanies joy, but that's not what joy is. And I found a pretty good definition. Here's what Rick Warren says about joy. He says, it's the assurance that God is in control of every detail of our life, confidence that everything will be okay, and choosing to praise God in every situation. Now, I know that's not real easy to write down. It's not real quick to remember. I'm going to read it one more time. And I did kind of come up with my own definition, a little easier to remember. It's the assurance that God is in control of every detail of our life, confident that everything will be okay, and choosing to praise God in every situation. And here's kind of what I thought it boiled down to. Here's what joy is. It's contentment in the sovereignty of God. That's what joy is. It's contentment in the sovereignty of God. It's understanding, you know what? God is sovereign. He has the ultimate authority in everything. In my life, in everybody's life, here on earth, in heaven, in the universe. God is sovereign. And if we remember that, we can have joy. If that's what we believe, that is joy. And it's also a point of reference here. I think we should understand that I'm not sure how this applies, but we should recognize that joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, this is something that we can have, and the closer we are to God, the more character of God we display because we're abiding in Him, then guess what? The more joy we can have. The more contentment we can have in a situation that God's brought us to, the more contentment that we can have because we understand that God is sovereign. And everything's going to work out. If not here on the earth, then in heaven and for eternity. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. James is not saying that you have to enjoy the suffering you're going through. Not what he's saying here. He's not being irrational. He's not like, oh, you got to enjoy this. You got to enjoy whatever you're going through. This persecution, you have to enjoy it. Now, come on now. He wouldn't even say that to these Jewish Christians. No way. No. But what he's saying is, you need to look at this thing you're going through, as an opportunity for what it produces. What's this trial, what's this persecution going to produce? Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So these troubles that we're going to experience have the opportunity to produce endurance. And check this out. We just read that when your faith is tested. Listen, that's synonymous to when troubles of any kind. In other words, the troubles we experience, guess what? They're tests of faith. Tests of faith. And in those tests of faith, we need to recognize those and think, you know what? This is an opportunity for my faith to endure. My faith to endure and mature. Now, a lot of times when we talk about endurance, we talk about physical endurance. That's what I think about. Like I'm thinking about like chopping wood yesterday. Holy cow, I have no endurance anymore. Like I can chop like a boss for about 10 seconds. You know what I mean? And then, you know? And then you got Dave and Lloyd over here, like, all day long, you know? But I can't do it. The only thing I have endurance in is, like, eating contests, you know? That's about it. And I think about, you know, physical things whenever I think about endurance. By the way, it's always good to define things. So here's what we're going with endurance. Like I said, you might have perseverance, you may have steadfastness, but we're going with endurance. It says the ability, same thing, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Okay, then it says especially to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity. I think that's important to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about endurance, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. When we talk about endurance, right, and the ability to do something, to keep going, and we have some people in here who have experienced this, and I'm not sure if their head's on right or what, but we have some people in here that like run marathons, don't we? Do you do marathons, half marathons, something? You run. Half. You know what? That's plenty. Holy cow. Half marathon. So what's that? How many miles is that? 13, 12? What? 13.1. Yeah, I'm going to go run 13.1 miles. Listen, I had to change my shirt because I preached this morning. I can't even imagine trying to run 13 miles. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Wow. And then we had somebody first service, and they clarified this for me. I'm glad they did because this is unbelievable. Check this out. So Laura Will was in first service, and she's like, I ran a marathon. I'm like, that's awesome. But you know what else she did? She didn't do a marathon. She swam for like 2 miles or something, and then she biked for 100 miles, and then she ran a marathon. Come on now, you know there's something wrong with her. What? What? But guess what? Unless you're Forrest Gump, you do not just wake up and decide you're going to run a marathon. You can't do it. Why? Because you have to build up your endurance to be able to do that. You have to train. You have to test yourself to see if you're capable of doing it. No way I couldn't do it. Nope. Jordan was sitting here first service. He's sitting over here, and I thought, man, this is good. He went to Wyoming to hunt elk. And before he left, he was carrying around a 50-pound pack, hiking all around, carrying a 50-pound pack. You know why? Because Wyoming's Rocky Mountains. He's got to climb a mountain with a 50-pound pack. And there's less oxygen up there, so it's harder. He had to train. He had to build up his endurance so that he could go achieve his goal, which he did. That's awesome. And if you're running half marathons, marathons, if you're running 500 feet, you know, you got to train, you got to build up your endurance to be able to do so, to reach the goal. And many times that's what we think about when we think about endurance, at least I do. So you guys sit here and hear me talk about it. But listen, what James is talking about here is the endurance, not of our physical body, but the endurance of our faith. Because genuine faith endures. That's a fact. Genuine faith endures. And that is exactly what James is talking about. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, we just read, faith is tested. Listen, our faith will be tested by God. Yeah. We're going to talk next week about temptation because we're going to be over in 12 to 15. We're going to talk temptation next week. God does not tempt, but God does test our faith. And he does that to prove and improve our character, our faith. I mean, think about Abraham. I mean, God tested Abraham, didn't he? Boy. And Abraham, here's the thing though. Abraham knew God. So when God said, hey, go sacrifice Isaac, Abraham's like, okay. And don't think that wasn't a trial. I mean, that had to be. Come on now. That's going to cause a little bit of suffering. Look, I know God's calling me to this. He's told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. That doesn't mean I'm going to be happy. But listen, Abraham knew God, and he obeyed. God was testing him. And it proved his character, didn't it? You will be tested by God. And he's tested. It'll come from other places as well. I think next week we're going to talk a little bit about Job. And you know, it says in Job that God allowed Satan to test us. Or what, not us. I'm sorry. Job. Allowed Satan to test Job. Okay? So there will be circumstances that we will be tested, our faith will be tested. But let's keep in mind what these troubles have to be. They have to be because we are following God. We are following Christ. Our faith will be tested. Let's turn over back over to 1 Peter, right beside 1 James. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Talking about being tested. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. So be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Here we go again. Here's Peter. He says, you must endure these trials for a little while. Now, a lifetime, I mean, Walt is, man, he's old. Seems to me like that's forever, you know? But you look good, brother. Listen, we think about a lifetime and how long that is, right? Think about this for a second. I was talking to a couple people the other day, and she's like, I can't even wrap my head around eternity. Like, I have to stop thinking about it. I have to stop thinking about eternity because our lives in the whole spectrum of eternity is you can't even get your fingers close enough. It's like that. I don't even know if you can measure it. Our life in the whole scope of eternity. So in other words, we got eternity that goes on forever. There's just a little bit of that peace that we're going to have to endure some trials and some troubles, tribulations for Him. He gives us eternity. Don't you think we could suffer just a little bit for his sake? So Peter's saying here, even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. The trials will show that your faith is genuine, will prove your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Listen, when our faith remains strong, we give glory, honor, and praise to Jesus. And when He comes back, even. Our faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Anybody know this process? I'm sure there's some people here that know this process. So I'm going to explain this process of fire purifying gold. So the first thing is, you get some gold, you put it in a graphite crucible. I think I said that right. It's got to be graphite. Okay, very important, not really. It is important because anything else will melt, I guess. But listen, here's the thing about gold. It has a very low melting point. 1,948 degrees. That's hot. I mean, can you agree that's hot? 1,948 degrees is the temperature that gold melts. And I think of that and I think that's very hot. That's not low. Give me a break. Then you consider tungsten. It melts at 6,192 degrees Fahrenheit. So now my perspective's changed just a bit. Now I'm looking and thinking, oh, you know what? I guess gold, that is kind of a low melting point of gold. And you know, when we're talking about eternity and that tiny little speck, and having to endure trials and temptations and troubles. You know, if we change our perspective just a little bit and we try to look at from God's point of view of eternity instead of our point of view of our life, then that's going to change our perspective just a little bit. That might just help us to endure some of these troubles and trials that we go through. So anyways, you melt the gold down and it becomes liquid, and then all the impurities rise to the top. And you take and you scrape it off. It's called dross. You scrape it off. You get rid of the impurities. And it hardens. And then you have yourself 24 karat gold, which is 99.9999999999% pure. Not 100. There's an impurity in there somewhere. Right? That's what happens. 24 karat gold. Now, there's also 10 karat gold. 10 karat gold is like the least you can get as far as gold goes and consider it still gold. Because it's full of impurities. There's added things to the 10 karat gold. Now, those things also make the 10 karat gold more durable, but it's not as pure. It's not worth as much. It doesn't work as well. And God says, that the Bible says that we will be tested, our faith will be tested as fire tests gold. So in other words, when we go through these troubles and these trials, these persecutions, what God is doing is he's trying to remove the impurities from our faith. He's trying to give us the ability to endure situations, to endure until maturity, which we're going to talk about in verse 4. But here's our problem, at least mine. We spend our whole life trying to figure out how to get around this trouble, how to get around this trial. I got to sidestep. I got to move around. I got to try to get around it. I don't want to go through it. You know what we're doing? We're not allowing God to work. We're trying to avoid a situation that God put us in to try to purify us, to take out the impurities. He wants us to be like 24 karat gold. He doesn't want to be like 10 karat gold. We have all these impurities in us, and we say, you know what? I'm going through this situation, and I'm going to take care of it. I got this. I don't need God. I'm going to do it in my own ability. Guess what? That's an impurity. He's trying to take that, heat it up. Ivan said we all need a little more fire under us to heat us up so that God can take and scrape the dross off the top of our faith. And then we can endure these situations better. We can endure and become mature in our faith and to perfection. Back to James. Verse 4, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This is a hard verse for me personally. Hard verse for me to understand. But here's what I'm finding out, man. There's a lot of things to understand about the Bible. There's a lot of things to understand about the words used in the Bible. And what I'm finding out about perfect, the idea that we have of perfect, and then a lot of times the Greek term that is used for perfect, they kind of have similar meanings, but there's also more to it in the Greek. What I'm finding out is this word perfect, as a matter of fact, if you have the NIV, which you probably do, it uses a term here, mature. Mature, to bring to maturity, to bring to completion is the word here that is used for perfect. You'll be fully developed, you will be mature and complete, needing nothing. I struggle sometimes with maturity. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, well, I'm not as aged as you, Larry. So, but listen, see, I get a little bit stumbled on this verse because I think to myself, if my endurance is fully grown and fully developed, my faith and the endurance of my faith, then I'm going to be perfect. No, we're not going to be perfect. However, our faith can be fully matured. Remember that 24 karat gold, 99.999999999, right? Listen, that could be us to a certain point, but our faith and the endurance of our faith can mature to the point that we can endure whatever God gives us or the world throws at us. We can be mature and complete, not needing anything else. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up, we're not going to fail, we're not going to sin. It just means that we have developed this endurance because we have trusted God in these things that He's brought us to. He brought us to it. We trust Him. He's going to bring us through it. Our endurance has grown. Our faith has grown. And there's nothing, even though we might sin, there's nothing that we cannot get through with God. We will have that ability, and our endurance will be fully developed. I believe you have to abide in the vine to remain that way. I do. We have to abide in the vine to try to remain perfect or mature and complete. James said, when you go through these troubles, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And I said that the first thing that we really need to recognize is that these opportunities produce the endurance of our faith. But check this out. There's something else that this endurance, these opportunities, these troubles produce. We read it back in Matthew chapter 5. I'll read that again, 5:11. No wonder my Bible's all tore up. God blesses. All right. Matter of fact, James 12 starts out with God blesses. Now, this is tremendous, right? This is tremendous. God blesses you when people mock you. We already read this once. It started out really good. Like, I'm going to be blessed. When people mock you, persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you. Remember, because you are my followers, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Listen, the other reason we can consider these troubles and these trials an opportunity for joy is because we're going to be blessed for enduring them. Yeah. I don't like to stand up here and talk about being blessed too much because too many TV guys have ruined that, I feel like. But the fact is, Jesus says right here, now listen, at least this means we have a reward in heaven. Now, there can be blessings on this earth as well. Look at Job. He had everything taken, right? Everything taken away. But then God chose to bless him at the end of his life as well before he died. You know, so at the very least, there's reward in heaven for going through these trials and tribulations. So that's a reason that we can consider these things an opportunity for great joy. Now, I do understand that we struggle with that. I told the youth this. I said, man, we live in a society that is just impatient. Straight up impatient. Because we can have whatever we want pretty much right now. Right? I mean, if you need something, guess what? Go to Walmart. They're open 24 hours. And if you don't want to go all the way to Walmart, guess what? There's a Dollar General in between. Or maybe two or three. So go to Dollar General and get what you need. And if that don't work, guess what? You can get Amazon Prime. Woo! Amazon Prime. That's right. 2-day shipping. Yep. So we've developed this impatience. We don't understand like delayed gratification. Like it's hard for us to look forward and think, okay, you know what? I'm going to receive a reward in heaven. So you know what? I'm going to consider this thing I'm going through an opportunity for joy. Well, that's really hard for us, isn't it? I know I struggle with that. I told the youth, I said, the only thing that we can't get here with overnight shipping is Saturday. Like, we can't do it. We can't do it with time, can we? We cannot order Saturday to get here with overnight shipping. It won't happen. So we're going to talk about more about this next week. We have to develop that patience. Because guess what? If we're going through a trial, a trouble, a persecution, we can't just order up on Amazon Sunday and think we're through it. We can't do that. We have to endure through it. We have to endure. As I begin to close, I want to close with a piece of scripture in 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Hey, there is a 1st and 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th Timothy. There's all kinds of Timothys. 2 Timothy. Let me get my note. 3:12. Not a lot. Let's start in 10. And it's cool because we have an example here of someone who is enduring. And it's exactly what James is talking about. And we read here, Paul tells Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose is in life. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured." This is Paul. Remember, he endured these things because he was now a Christian. Because he was a follower of Christ. He's enduring. It's not just because, you know, he decided he wasn't going to follow God and got himself into some trouble and now he don't know what to do. He's all locked up. No, he's locked up because he is following Christ. He's being persecuted because of he is following Christ. "You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it." The Lord rescued me from all of it. "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Not there. There it is again. Jesus, James, Peter, Paul. They're all saying it. "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Listen, you better make sure that you're suffering persecution because you're following Christ and not because you're sinning. That's what Peter said. If you're sinning and you're suffering, what good's that? What's that matter? Of course that's going to happen. So I want to ask you a question, and it's a hard one. What trouble are you experiencing right now? What trial? What persecution? I feel like I didn't even know today was... What was today? What do you call it? What's the official name of today? We recognize the persecuted church? Like, I didn't even know that was today. I feel half bad asking this question here in church in America. What trouble are you going through? Is that trouble because you're a follower of Christ? Like, really think about that for a minute. Wait a minute, I've been irresponsible with my finances, so this trouble I'm going through with my finances is because I'm just stupid. I made a mistake. It's not really because I'm a follower of Christ. Think about it. Are you experiencing persecution because you're a follower of Christ? I want to tell you a quick story. So Court, our oldest, told me and Mommy he wanted to tell us something this week at bedtime. And he said, hey, it's hard when it's one of your kids, but I just think of how many youth go through this. I kind of hope a lot of them do, but at the same time, I don't. He said, in school, I don't feel like I fit in. He said, I just feel like I'm invisible, like people don't see me. And I'm like, okay, why? You know, because he doesn't cuss. Because he doesn't cuss. Do you know why he doesn't cuss? Because he knows God doesn't want him to do that. He knows that that doesn't reflect well on God. And he's also honoring his father and mother because we tell him not to cuss. And now he's experiencing persecution. He's suffering through a trial because, man, every kid wants to fit in. We want to fit in, don't we? Man, that's what it means. Like, he's literally going through a trial because of his faith. And I just wonder if I'm doing the same. If you're doing the same. Man, it's not easy. We go through all kinds of things. And you sit there and just decide, man, those are things that I've caused. Or maybe the world's caused. But God didn't bring that on. It's not because I'm following him. And I think we need to evaluate or reevaluate what we're doing. And we should be experiencing some sort of trouble because of our faith. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize, Lord, the areas where we are having issues or problems or troubles because we follow you. God, help us to recognize those things. Lord, help us to recognize the situations that we've brought on ourselves. And Lord, understand that we can rely on you, but Lord, we need to experience persecution for you. Because you say in your word that we will have trouble. God, I pray that we recognize that. You give us the strength to get through it. Lord, I pray that we would be stronger for it. That our faith, the endurance of our faith, would grow until we are mature and complete, needing nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.